This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. The buzz around 3D printing seems to be getting louder. Industry experts say it could help spark a manufacturing renaissance in the U.S. Even President Obama highlighted the technology last week in his State of the Union address.
A once-shuttered warehouse is now a state-of-the-art lab where new workers are mastering the 3D printing that has the potential to revolutionize the way we make almost everything.
But as NPR's Steve Henn reports, as 3D printers and 3D scanners get cheaper, this nascent industry could be roiled by battles over intellectual property.
Not so long ago, a good 3D scanner that could create accurate digital models of objects in the real world cost more than $10,000. Then Microsoft released the Kinect. This video game controller was built to allow you to play games just by waving your hands.
But it turned out that the Kinect was actually much more than that. It was a 3D camera, about 1/100th of the price.
When it came out, Nicolas Burris was working on computer vision research at a university in Spain. But pretty quickly, he founded a company to make software that turns the Kinect into a cheap, high-quality 3D scanner.
We knew this could change everything, because anyone could just start scanning.
So last week, I asked him to show me how it worked.
I think the best thing would be to try actually to scan Lauren, if she's not moving too much.
Okay. That's Lauren Freyer, my NPR colleague in Spain. She was helping me out by recording my interview with Burris in Madrid, but she ended up becoming his guinea pig.
Is this a good pose?
Soon, Burris was walking around Lauren holding a Kinect scanner.
So I'm going to stay absolutely still.
Yeah.
And not even talk. Well.
As he walked, the camera collected 3D data and images of Lauren. His software began to stitch it together into a detailed 3D model, right in front of her eyes.
So here you see.
Oh gosh, should I fix my hair?
In minutes, the scan's done. Burris emailed me the file. And the next day, nearly 6,000 miles away, I walked into a tech shop in Menlo Park, California, borrowed their 3D printer, and printed out what I think is NPR's very first action figure. Justin Leathern helped me get the print going.
I was hoping that they'd scan her holding a microphone, but no such luck.
That's unfortunate.
The printer traces the outline of Lauren's shape, laying down a layer of hot plastic, just a few microns thick. Then it does it again. Slowly, Lauren emerges. And as I'm watching, I'm thinking maybe NPR should market an entire line of action figures.
Absolutely, why not?
It would be dead simple. All of this technology, from the scanners to the printers, is designed for consumers, and it's getting much, much cheaper. The MakerBot printer we're using costs less than $2,000. And 3D scanners are coming out soon that will be small enough to build into smartphones. Clay Lambert runs the Menlo Park tech shop. He says making perfect copies of physical stuff has never been easier.
We're at the point now with physical objects that we were at with MP3s a decade ago, right? Or even 15, 18 years ago. We're now at that point with stuff. I think it's fantastic.
And anywhere makers and geeks congregate, excitement is building. I ran into Bree Pettis last month at CES. Pettis founded MakerBot, which manufactures these low-cost 3D printers.
We're going to see more and more applications built that are going to allow people to be empowered to make the things that they want, just the way they want them.
Do you hear from other companies, though, that are worried about the problems with digital copyright and digital piracy sort of bleeding into the material world?
Pettis simply refused to answer the question. He stood there in front of the mic, silent.
So you haven't heard that expressed anywhere? You've never heard it?
But back at the tech shop in Menlo Park, Clay Lambert says intellectual property could become a big problem.
It's a huge question. It really is.
MakerBot runs a website called Thingiverse, where people can share their digital designs for 3D printers. And it turns out a lot of the stuff people are designing, copying, and printing off of Thingiverse, things like Star Wars action figures and Pixar's famous lamp, they're actually protected by copyright.
Yoda is not something that we can just copy and duplicate. Yoda is protected by copyright.
Mark Weinberg's a lawyer at a group called Public Knowledge. Recently, he's written two white papers on 3D printing intellectual property in the law. He says even when designers take a copyrighted object, like a bust of Yoda, and tweak it, it's still legally protected.
Yes, but almost the more interesting question is, how does Lucasfilm and Disney react to that?
So far, they haven't done anything. But the era of big companies treating 3D printing with benign neglect may be coming to an end. Recently, Mulan Arts, which owns the rights to the cartoon Tintin, served Thingiverse with a digital takedown notice. The company insisted the site remove several designs for printing out a model of Tintin's cartoon moon rocket. Weinberg says legally, Mulan Arts was well within its rights, but he thinks the move was a mistake.
The technology is coming whether you like it or not, and as a CEO of one of these companies, you can spend a lot of time and money trying to sue it out of existence and sue the genie back into the bottle, or you can spend that same time and money and apply it towards finding a way to use the technology to your advantage.
Weinberg says the kind of people who build and print 3D models of Tintin's rocket are the company's superfans. So he says instead of attacking them, Mulan Arts would be better off selling them digital designs to print, maybe even one for Tintin himself. Steve Henn, NPR News, Silicon Valley.